You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
We'll go to the scripture readings in Numbers today, chapter 11, verses 24 through 30. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud, and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that, when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, and did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man, and told Moses, and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, My lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them? And Moses gat him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel. And Father God, we ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Oh, I've got it. It's right here. Okay, good. We got to have the technology. That's good. Well, it's been cold. It's been really cold out at New Ulla. And Sippy and I this morning, we were looking out from the breakfast table and we were saying, well, where do these birds go on these really cold days? We're used to seeing so many of these beautiful cardinals. Not one of them did we see this morning. In fact, we didn't see, I don't remember seeing any birds at all. So I was just thinking, well, where do these birds go? You know, where do they go on these cold mornings? And no doubt they find little places under leaves or whatever, warm little holes to move into and trees. I don't know where they go, but it's a good question because it's cold enough to drop their feathers off, so it seems. It's been very cold. Well, let's begin with a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time, Lord, where we can open up the Scriptures and understand more about Thy holy Word and all that Thou hast for us. We thank Thee, O Father, that during this life we have hope in Christ and that we can see past death to something so much greater and beautiful that's coming for us. We thank Thee in Christ's name. Amen. Right, well, last time we looked at this topic, which was this anger, which in the scriptures is given the name wrath or orge. And it says here, for the wrath is come upon them to the utmost, unto the end. And it draws your attention to the fact that in God's foreknowledge, He can see these things happening. And He can use their rebellion to get things done. We've talked about this. Okay, we've discussed and looked at many scriptures where God will use people's rebellion. And through the book of Acts, you definitely see groups of people where they go against God's plans, and Paul will say something like, okay, that's your choice, from henceforth we go to the Gentiles. And then he'll go to another city, and he'll then go to the Jew first, and they will do the same. And then he'll say, okay, that's your business, you've done that, all right, from henceforth I'll go to the Gentiles. And then he will do that, and he'll go right around Asia, and this thing will be repeated. And we see another example of this here. Now, the other matter that I want to raise with you, which I have been really looking at very, very carefully, the body of Christ. This expression, the body of Christ, only comes up twice in your scriptures. I know you may think it comes up a lot more. It doesn't. Now, the expression, I mean, the body of Christ. So what you do is you'll find it here in Ephesians 4:12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And here you see it towards this edification of the body of Christ. So, I wonder now, where else do you find this expression, the body of Christ? Well, you certainly find it here. And you also find it in 1 Corinthians 12:13. Now, that's interesting to me. First of all, you find an expression which seems to mean so much to us, and yet we find it on both sides of the great divide. It's in both places. So if you go to 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Well, that's also very interesting because the context here is very strong. There's a context in Ephesians, which we should review, and there's a context here which is also very interesting. It's massively interesting, both of these contexts. And I want to suggest something to you, which I've been looking at very, very carefully, and I think I'm beginning to get quite a bit of the mind of Christ on this. I don't believe I've got all of it, right, on this issue. But I think I've got quite a bit of it. And I'm thankful to God for it. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians. And this time what we'll do is we'll just go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 first. And, man, it's massive. This is going to be another one of these big things. There, I said to Seppi, you know, one of the great things about coming to Northside is that I've been able to examine a lot of the things which I've perhaps taken for granted, and I've found some nuggets in there in the scriptures which have really changed my view on many foundational issues. Not just, you know, small things, not some little bit of, you know, coloring that goes in the side of the picture, but big brushstrokes that are important in understanding what's going on. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Bingo, we know where we are. I use that expression, bingo. I've never played bingo. I don't even know what bingo is, really, other than it's some sort of game and when you get something happen, you say bingo, and I don't know. I have no idea, really. But that expression is with me, you know, bingo. So you play bingo here, right? You play bingo in America?
Yeah.
It's big down in New Zealand. It's big in Australia. It's big in Britain. I think it's all over the world. Okay, and in verse 2 it says, and we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. It's very clear where we're headed, man. We're going straight into Exodus. And we've got the story about the nation of Israel. Why is he doing this? And you notice the way that he's talking. He says, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers. Isn't it interesting that he now, of course, Paul, he was an Israelite, and he's saying our. So he's including himself with certain people that he's addressing in the Corinthian church. All our fathers. That can only mean that there's Jews in the congregation. It can't mean anything else. If you try and say no, I'm sorry, it just doesn't make sense for Paul to say our fathers and there be not people in there who were Jews. There'll be Christian Jews, right? What is the ultimate for a Jew? Well, to become a follower of Messiah. That doesn't mean to say that you stop being a Jew, right? You follow the Messiah. Who was Messiah? Messiah is the Christ. He's the promised one. The ultimate, the true Jew will be a Christian, right? When I say Christian, I mean as it's defined in the Scriptures and the Old Testament, looking towards the promises and the coming of Messiah. A Jew will believe in that Messiah. Well, who is that Messiah? He is Jesus the Christ. So a true Jew will simply accept Messiah. Okay, cool. So they were in the audience. I'm not saying they were all Jews. But there certainly was a group of Jews within that congregation. And it says, and we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. An identification with their leader, which we're going to go back and have a look at if we've got time, right? In Numbers, chapter 11. There's, honestly, man, I don't know how many times I've read Numbers in Exodus. And man, the things I've missed in there. How thick am I that I've missed so many of these things? But down here it says, and did all eat the same spiritual meat? And did all drink the same spiritual drink? Isn't it interesting that Paul now is reflecting on the things that happened? The eating of the manna and the drinking of the water that came out of the rock. You know, this stuff that happened to the nation of Israel. Verse 4, and did all drink the same spiritual drink? But in verse 5, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, right in verse 4, just between verse 3 and 5, verse 5 shows God's displeasure with them. In verse 3, it's all about the spiritual meat. And then in verse 4, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Complete picture now. It's a complete. Back there is the type, and now he's connecting with the antitype. That is the Lord Jesus. There's no doubt about the picture that he has set up. It's absolutely clear what he's done. Now, in chapter 12, you move. Verse 1, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren. So, back in chapter 10, you had the spiritual meat, the spiritual drink, the rock, and that rock was Christ. In chapter 12, now concerning spiritual gifts, it's a complete continuation of the thought. But here is the change. Look at verse 2. Ye know that ye were Gentiles. So, in chapter 10, he is pulling out a group within the congregation who could completely identify with a picture. Now another group within the Corinthian assembly who are Gentiles. You can't be both Gentiles and Jews. So therefore there's two different groups going on in this fellowship. Now here's my question to you. In this fellowship, was there an advantage given to the nation of Israel? There has to have been. There has to have been, because Paul tells us this. And he goes on here and he says, verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking of the Spirit by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is working in them in a very, very miraculous way. Now, when you come down here in verse 11, verse 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Here are spiritual gifts, right? There's definitely spiritual gifts. And last time we looked and saw that in Ephesians chapter 4, that other passage, in the context there is this quotation from Psalm 68, which talks about how that the Lord, when he ascended up on high, he gave gifts to men, and these gifts happen to be people. So here we've got different gifts. In chapter 12, you have very special gifts that were given to people, and in Ephesians 4, the gifts were people, apostles, prophets, etc. Okay, carrying on. And it says in verse 11, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So there's at least one gift given. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Oh, so here is the anointing. So also is Christ. Christ is the anointing. So also is this anointing. These people received this great anointing of the Spirit, and they manifested forth these tremendous gifts. And then verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Isn't that interesting here? Whether we be bond or free. And you notice as you go down in verse 14, for the body is not one member but many. And then it goes through all these discussions here about, you know, what the parts do. Coming down here, I've got verse 16. Let's just look at it. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, and then it says, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And then verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? And of course it goes on. So what's the point of showing these verses? Well, we have a metaphor, right? So in 1 Corinthians 12 and 16 and 17, you've got this ear and you've got this eye. The metaphor here then is this idea that each part of the body works together. That's the idea. It's functioning together. And because it functions together, it works completely as a body, the whole body, which is the remarkable thing about our complex human body, that it does function together. Okay, so here we are. We have all these parts, including parts to the head. And we don't want to change the metaphor. This is the metaphor that Paul is using. And he's saying that everyone, every single person, has at least one of these gifts. It's been given severally to each. And so they have all these gifts, and these gifts function together to make this body work properly. That's the metaphor that's given. Okay, well, all right, we can understand that. That's the metaphor. That's what he's used. We're not going to argue against it. Now, if you just go across now to Ephesians chapter 4, and let's review this because it's central. So in Ephesians chapter 4, and when we go across here to Ephesians 4, let's put in here a line, because we now are moving across this boundary. So at this boundary here, Acts 28 boundary, we cross it to get to Ephesians, because Ephesians now is written by Paul the prisoner. So, let's see. He says this, verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, I want you to rethink this, because I'm rethinking it now. Jump past the parenthetical thought. So, verses 9 and 10, you notice in your Bible, that's in parentheses. So I agree with that it is a parenthetical thought. So verse 8 talks about the gifts, giving gifts unto men. And verse 11, he resumes that. And he gave some. So these are the gifts. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Okay, here are the gifts. But why are these the gifts? What is so important about these gifts? I mean, there were apostles and prophets beforehand. There were apostles and prophets during the book of Acts. So why is he now majoring on this and saying that these are the gifts? That when he ascended up on high, he gave gifts. Well, verse 12, it tells you why. and what their function was. You get the reason why by understanding their function. And their function is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Well, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Is it possible, I'm just putting this out here, is it possible that what's going on here is this? Back here, you have the body of Christ. And over here, Paul emphasizes the church, which is his body, and that the head is Christ. Now, let's just stop there for a second before I take this to its logical conclusion. There is some logic to it. On the right-hand side, you see Jesus is the head, and the church is the body. It is the susoma. It is the body together. The Jews, now being found guilty before God, they are no longer given the advantage. The salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles. And then this church has been freshly created with a new hope and a new purpose. And now it's been described as the church, which is his body, with Christ the head. We'll read some more passages about this. All right. But you have the body of Christ here in the book of Acts. And these people here would certainly go past Acts 28 because Acts 28 happened in time. Acts 28 was an event in history. It had a time when it occurred. So what about these people who were formerly in this body, which where there were gifts of the Holy Spirit happening? When Acts 28 happened, what happened to the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Did it just suddenly, bang, stop? All of a sudden, it just, huh. Is that how you think it happened? They just woke up, and then it was all gone. Now, my belief about this has been changing a little bit as I've read the scriptures. Now, there's a few questions that need to be answered, but I'm going to show you now, with my progression of slides, what I think happened. Okay? I'm not saying that I know this for certain. I'm saying I'm on the way to believing it did happen, but I'm going to dot the I's and cross the T's and check it out. Right? But if it's true, it's another big one. It's another big deal. Okay, watch this. Right? I think that this is possible. That is, that when Acts 28 occurred, when the events of Acts 28 occurred, the body of Christ, that is the generalized body, and there's locales in Corinth, there's locales in Rome, okay, different bodies there who exhibited the manifestation of the body of Christ with gifts and signs and wonders, that once Acts 28 occurred, that they still existed. But what we'll find is this. Excuse my nose, I'm stunned. We always get worried. When we start getting, we as teachers, when we get sniffles, we think, oh man, we've got to get onto this quick because there are huge repercussions. So notice the coloring. So what I think happened was that rather than this idea of a sudden, discrete, bang, it all left. Rather, I think what happened was that the body of Christ that was mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, with exhibiting all the signs and the wonders, began to, using my name, wane. Began to wane. And why would I believe that? Just look at this. Look at some scriptures for this, right? Have a look with me at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance. Now this is Paul speaking to the young preacher and pastor, Timothy. and his own beloved son in the faith, the one that Paul nurtured. He says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands." Now you'll see almost exactly the same thing that happened in Numbers chapter 11 with Moses, where he released the Spirit onto the others around him. Now, he's saying, stir it up. Why stir it up? Because it's falling away, right? The powers of the age to come, because that's being put on hold because of the unbelief of Israel, these things are falling aside. And if you look at this other passage, which is in 1 Timothy 5:23, have a look at 1 Timothy 5:23, it says this: "Drink no longer water, but use a lot of wine." Yeah, a little wine, "for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities." Medicinal wine now. Evidence on the other side. On one side, Paul says to Timothy, stir up the gift that was given to thee by the laying on of hands. Stir it up. And then on the other side, he's now saying, okay, now take wine, a little bit of medicinal wine for your medical problems. Whereas before, he could issue to the sick handkerchiefs that would heal them. In 2 Timothy 4, notice these are all to Timothy, the young preacher, the one who is supposed to be the leader of the flock and the one giving the example. "Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick." Evidence that the Spirit of God's influence in this very, very supernatural way with gifts is on the decline. But nonetheless, we also see passages where it's there to some degree. Okay, and has to be stirred up. Okay, so now let's go back to Ephesians. And let's go back here to the point that I'm trying to sort of make here. So, Ephesians chapter 4. Now, watch how this is going to run. This is where the big move comes with me. And I want you to consider it. I'm not teaching it as absolutely rock solid yet, but it's coming as I study. Now, look at this. It says in Ephesians 4, verse 11, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints." Now, the perfecting of the saints is this mending up of the nets. Okay? There's been a problem. Israel has been judged. A new hope has been placed in front of them. And the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ is to be preached to these believers. Believers! People who were in the body of Christ in the book of Acts. And as I'm suggesting, were there. "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Now I read through very quickly, because do you notice in verse 12 it says, "For the building up of the body of Christ." These ones need to be perfected. They need to be adjusted, right? They need to be brought into the understanding of the mystery. And these pastors and teachers and all these other people were given as gifts to adjust these people and bring them, by the preaching of the unsearchable riches of Christ, unto the knowledge of the Son of God and his new ministry through the apostles. And he says this, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried away with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. How easy it would be to deceive, right, under these conditions. The conditions where formerly there was a manifestation of the Spirit of God who would simply judge people, man, when they tried to come down and pretend they were something they weren't. Or Christians who would do things secretly and try to keep things away from the ministry and the work of the Spirit of God, where the Spirit of God would just judge them on the spot. Now it's different. And boy, would there be opportunity for the devil to get in here in ways that were amazing. And it says here, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. Look at this. Which is the head. Right? Which is the head, even Christ. Now, wait a minute. Over here, the body of Christ included the head. You could be manifesting through eyes and ears and mouth and all sorts of things here on the head. Then others could be, you know, a hand. They're not in the head. So does that mean that they're not in Christ? I mean, if Christ is the head and you're a hand, does that mean you're not in Christ? Only the eyes are in Christ because that's the head. Can you see how ridiculous it would be to try and mix up metaphors? You've got to leave the metaphor as it is. This metaphor is to show how the gifts work together within the body of Christ. The body of Christ, when it went through the boundary, when it went through this time zone where there was a judgment given on Israel, they were preached to. They were given the revelation of the mystery. And the apostles were trying to bring them in. And if they said no to God, okay, then it's not for them. And they would not go into the body of whom Christ is head. They wouldn't. They would retain whatever hope they had and believed in back here. Right? And there's no reason to force them into the body of whom Christ is head. There's no need to force them in there. If they don't want it, that's their choice. There were people chosen to do this job, to bring them in and to show them these things. Until finally, what happened to them? Well, as time went by, all the gifts disappeared. And then there was no manifestation where this metaphor would be appropriate. The body of Christ. It would not simply be there, that metaphor. Well, there would be people there. Yeah, there would be people there, and they would have to choose what they believed in, like we do, right? People today have to choose what they believe in. We as Christians must come to understand this. But to try and make this metaphor that one is just ridiculous. What's going to happen here? You see, we are the body. And we are not the head. Christ is the head. And we hold the head. We understand that he is the head of this universal church. And we understand it. We understand our place and our purpose. Okay, well, we are looking at Acts 28 versus mid-Acts. And we're starting to come across some pretty cool doctrine. Some pretty interesting things to ponder and consider. Okay, let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this time when we can consider the scriptures and all that it has to say about this wonderful issue and the hope that's set before us, Lord, the one in the heavenly places. We pray that we could make this known. We pray for the ministry online, that you'd use it, and that people around the world, whether they're going to work and listening to messages on a train or in a taxi or wherever they might be, some parts of the world where there's not much else, but Lord, that they can hear the truths of the preaching of the Word of God according to the mystery given to Paul the prisoner. We ask, Lord, that you'd use us to bring these people unto perfection. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.